All right, welcome to another deep dive, everyone. Today we're going deep into theoretical physics. Buckle up, because we're going to be looking at the honestly bizarre world of one-dimensional many-body systems.
One dimension.
One dimension, yeah. Basically, what happens when you take like tons of particles and just force them all to exist on a single line. And well, we're going to be using some pretty dense research to guide us. We've got a textbook here that really dives into the deep end. We're talking Bethe-Cand, SATs, integrability, all those complex models like Hubbard and Heisenbergizing,
Yeah.
the kind of stuff that that really makes your brain bend.
It's kind of like, we're taking the entire complexity in the
Yeah.
universe, right? And then just like squishing it down to this single thread.
Exactly, like a cosmic pearl necklace or something.
Yeah, exactly. And our goal is to sort of untangle this thread and see what makes it tick. Like, what are the core principles behind a concept called integrability, and how does it actually make these like seemingly impossible systems understandable? We're also going to explore some seriously strange behaviors that you only see in one dimension.
That's right. And we're going to be hunting for those aha moments, right? When we see how different kinds of particle interactions can lead to these completely wild phases of matter.
Totally.
And don't worry, we're not going to get bogged down in a sea of equations. We're going to keep it conceptual. So let's start by just taking a step into this one-dimensional world. What makes it so fundamentally different?
Well, for me, the most striking thing about one dimension is that there's literally no way to escape. You're trapped on a single path,
No detours.
no detours. In the quantum world, you can tunnel, but you're still fundamentally confined to this one line. And that, believe it or not, has some pretty profound consequences for how these systems behave.
Okay, so like what kind of consequences are we talking about?
Well, think about trying to maintain order. Like, imagine a perfect line of soldiers all standing at attention. In one dimension, if just one soldier steps out of line, it disrupts the entire formation.
Yeah, makes sense.
Right. But it goes even deeper than that. Consider a ferromagnet, where all the tiny little magnetic spins are aligned in the same direction.
North to south, north to south.
Exactly. In one dimension, if even a single spin flips, it creates a defect that can like ripple through the entire line and totally disrupt the overall order.
Yeah.
And what's really weird is that flipping a single spin often costs hardly any energy, but it hugely increases the disorder because that flip spin could be anywhere.
So a tiny little energetic nudge can lead to total chaos.
Precisely. It's the opposite of what you might expect. And then there's the whole issue of collisions. In one dimension, every collision is head-on.
Oh, yeah, there's nowhere else to go.
And now, get this. This is where things get really weird. When identical particles collide in this one-dimensional quantum world, it's like they just pass right through each other.
Yeah, pass through each other. Wait, so what actually happens if they just like ghost through each other?
Yeah, so classically you'd see maybe a little time delay. But in the quantum world, it's all about the phase shift. Think of it like a mathematical way to describe the nudge one particle gives another when they pass through. It's subtle, but super important for understanding how the whole system works.
Okay, so one dimension, definitely a land of some pretty weird physics. You mentioned integrability earlier, and it sounds like that's a pretty key concept for making sense of all this. So what is integrability in the world of physics?
It essentially means that even in a system with like a zillion interacting particles, you can break down the interactions into a series of much simpler two-body scattering events. Because like no matter how crowded the party gets, the fundamental dance is still between pairs.
So, kind of like if you're watching a giant ballroom dance, you can understand the whole thing by just looking at how each couple interacts on the floor.
Perfect analogy. And the Bethe-Cand is like the ultimate tool for dealing with these integrable systems. You can think of it like a set of instructions for solving a giant jigsaw puzzle. The Bethe-Cand tells you how to arrange all the pieces, but it does it by only looking at how any two pieces fit together. It's a really clever shortcut that lets you bypass the craziness of trying to figure out the whole puzzle at once. It tells you how to write down a special form of the wave function, which is like a mathematical description of the state of all these particles. And the amazing thing is that the way the whole wave function scatters is just a sequence of those two-body phase shifts we talked about.
And those phase shifts, those are like the secret code that tells you how the particles are actually influencing each other, right?
Exactly. For example, if you've got two identical particles coming at each other with a certain momentum, their interaction, that passing through, can be described by a phase factor like e to the minus I theta of p. And that theta of p, that's the phase shift, and it depends on the momentum and the kind of interaction they have.
You also mentioned something about an inverse square potential. How does that fit into all this?
Oh, yeah, the inverse square potential. So that's a case where the interaction between particles gets weaker as the square of the distance between them. It turns out that this is like a textbook example of an integrable system. You have a ton of particles interacting, but the whole problem boils down to just understanding those two-body interactions. And the beauty is, you can actually calculate the exact phase shift for that system.
So it makes what seems impossible to calculate actually possible.
Exactly. And here's another cool thing about integrable systems. They're often non-diffractive. It means that you don't get these complicated three-body or higher-order scattering events. It always comes down to pairs. And there are mathematical ways to see this, like the fact that there are certain properties of the system that stay the same no matter how the particles interact.
Okay, so non-diffractive means no multiparticle pileups in our calculations.
Got it.
Now let's talk about the box, like the actual container that these one-dimensional particles are living in. Does it matter what kind of box it is?
Like if it has hard walls or if it's like a loop?
Yeah, exactly.
Great question. So it turns out that when you have a huge number of particles, like approaching infinity, what we call the thermodynamic limit, the exact details of the box become less important. Think of it like this. If you zoom in on a tiny part of a giant picture, the edges of the picture don't really matter anymore.
So for a truly massive number of particles, it doesn't really matter if they're on a line or a loop, as long as that line or loop is really big.
Right. And this actually lets physicists do some pretty sneaky stuff. Like they can imagine the particles are on a ring, even if they're not, because it makes the math way easier without changing the underlying physics.
Ah, so that's a handy trick. You also mentioned something called virial expansion. How does that tie into all this?
So the virial expansion is this way to describe the thermodynamic properties of a system, things like pressure, based on how dense the particles are and how they interact in small groups, like pairs and triplets. And the cool thing is that the Bethe-ansatz, even if it's just an approximation for a small system, can give you the exact thermodynamics in the thermodynamic limit using this thing called analytic continuation. It's like just knowing how pairs of particles interact lets you predict how the whole gas will behave, even if it's super dense.
So understanding those fundamental scattering events unlocks the secrets of the whole system. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now, what happens when you add some energy to the system when it's not in its lowest energy state anymore?
You get excitations, right? Like ripples in a pond.
Exactly. And in these one-dimensional systems, these excitations are often like adding or removing a particle, kind of like with free fermions, but with those phase shifts mixed in.
So even those disturbances are still governed by those two-body interactions.
Yeah. And these excitations have this relationship between their energy and momentum called the dispersion relation. And you can figure out this relationship directly from the phase shifts. And even at absolute zero temperature, you can use the Bethe-ansatz to figure out things like the ground state energy and pressure just by knowing the density of those states.
It really is all about those two-body interactions, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, let's dive into some specific examples. What can you tell us about the Hubbard model?
Okay, so the Hubbard model is kind of a big deal in condensed matter physics. It's all about electrons moving through a crystal lattice where they can interact strongly if they happen to be on the same lattice site. It's like a simplified way to describe what happens in real materials, but it turns out to be incredibly powerful.
And it's important for our discussion because...
Well, the Hubbard model in one dimension is exactly solvable using the Bethe-ansatz. Thanks to Lieb and Wu, we can actually map out all the different magnetic and insulating phases. And that's something you can't really do in higher dimensions.
Fascinating. How about the Heisenberg-Ising model? What is that all about?
Picture a chain of tiny magnets, each one interacting with its neighbors. It's like the classic Bethe-ansatz problem. And depending on how strong those interactions are and the overall magnetization, you get all these different phases. Antiferromagnetic, where the magnets point in opposite directions, paramagnetic, where they're all random, and ferromagnetic, where they all line up.
So even this seemingly simple chain of magnets can be incredibly complex.
Yeah, but thankfully, integrability gives us the tools to understand it all. Now, let's switch gears a bit. What about things like permutation symmetry and particle statistics? How do they play into all of this?
They're crucial. When you have identical particles, their wave function has to obey certain rules when you swap them. For fermions, like electrons, the wave function has to be antisymmetric, meaning it flips its sign. For bosons, it has to be symmetric, meaning it stays the same. And this really dictates how they behave as a group.
And what about those boundary conditions we talked about earlier?
You can even get fancy with the boundary conditions, like Imagine threading a magnetic flux through the middle of that ring of particles. This adds an extra twist to the wave function, basically changing the rules of the game and leading to even more interesting behavior.
So even something external like a magnetic field can be incorporated into the theory. Amazing. Now, back to scattering. Why is two-body scattering so crucial for integrable systems?
Because if you understand how two particles scatter, you understand how the whole system works. It's like having a master key that unlocks all the doors. It's all about those probabilities of transmission and reflection, and of course, those phase shifts.
So how do we know if a system is truly integrable through these pairwise interactions?
Well, there's some mathematical tests for that. The source material we have doesn't call it this explicitly, but there's a condition called the Yang-Baxter equation that basically says the order in which three particles scatter doesn't matter if they only interact in pairs. It's a way to make sure everything is consistent.
Okay, so if A hits B, then C, it's the same as A hitting C, then B.
Got it.
Well, this has been quite the deep dive. I feel like my brain has expanded a few sizes.
Mine too.
But it's incredible how this simple constraint of one dimension can lead to such rich and complex physics.
It really is. And integrability is such a powerful tool for understanding it all.
We've seen how these theoretical models, like the Hubbard model and the Heisenberg-Ising model, can capture such a wide range of phenomena.
It really makes you think, right? For some of the most complex systems in the universe, the interactions might still boil down to those simple pairwise interactions. There's a kind of hidden simplicity in all that complexity.
And it makes you wonder what other mysteries are waiting to be uncovered in different kinds of systems, in different dimensions.
Exactly. The journey never ends.
That's right. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. And until next time, keep exploring the fascinating world of physics.
Keep exploring.